Anyway, we're intentional about 2020 because we said health is wealth. Did we not say that? Then that means we got to watch what we eat and how we treat our bodies, because the Bible said that your body is to what? Now, I want you to stay here for a minute. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So that means that your body is your church. Get this, and you're the only member of your church. So don't lose your member. Because you're not increasing membership in this church. You're the only member. So we got to be, watch this, intentional about what we're doing. Amen. Amen. Last but not least, my book is out. I have a manual now. This is my second book. I'm working on my third book, which is called Kingdom Living. It's going to be thicker, much thicker than this. But I did this as a manual because I believe I took my struggles in the kingdom, how sometimes it's very complexing, and I did like a roadmap. And so why are we in the kingdom? What can we do? So this book, you can get out of our bookstore for $10, right? And you can read it because it's going to help you out. It explains just a basics about how to go in the kingdom and operate and still stay afloat without all the confusion. A lot of scriptures, everything. So it's called A State of Readiness. It's all about training. We call it discipleship, okay? So it's all about that. So it's out. It's ready. Hopefully I have my next book ready by just before the summer. And hopefully we'll have it out and ready to go. But having said this, stand to your feet. And what I want you to do for the next 2 minutes is break open your alabaster box. And let's begin to welcome Holy Spirit in. And let's begin to get ready for what God is about to do. Amen. So for the next couple of minutes, your alabaster box need to be open. And you need to begin to pour out fragrances of worship. Father, we thank you today. We worship you today. Our spirits are open. Our spirits are ready. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place today. Flood our understanding with light in the name of Jesus. Father, let my mind become as a pen of a ready writer, ready to move forward in the things of God. And today, Lord, we give you praise, we give you honor, because we welcome your presence in, because you are the King. And I thank you for the people who are here today in this place, in this very hour, that, Father, you would pour out your understanding and revelation upon them as well. We thank you for it. We give you praise. We give you honor and all the glory. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on. There you go. The Bible said, Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves. For in 3 days you shall pass over. Lord, we're ready. Our souls are open so that heaven can pour into our souls today. We thank you right now. We give you praise right now. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Come on, just open up. Come on. Cast off doubt. Open up your expectation right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Father, we ascend to your throne. We thank you today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're getting ready to go to the word real quick. You know, we're talking about levels. This is a very important teaching because I've been waiting to get to this teaching right here today. You don't want to miss this. In fact, you need to see Brother Matthew back because you need to take it to your house and play it over and over because it's something. And the reason I've been praying about this, and I know you need it, because I've been watching some of you struggle in your faith. You love God. You've been doing everything you can for God. But things have not just been happening like you want it to happen. And you know the reason why? You don't understand the protocol. Well, here's your solution. Your answer is here today. I'm going to give you the solution and protocol so that you will never be without ever again a day in your life. You will understand how the kingdom operates, how you need to receive from the kingdom, how you can glorify the king, and how you can be successful and walk in the kingdom without a shadow of a doubt. Y'all ready for this? All right then. Go with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. I'm going to read from the New King James, and then I'm going to read verses 16 and 17 from the Passion Bible, okay? Let me know when you get it. If you don't, say, wait a minute. Yeah, everybody say, I'm going to be quiet on that one. Amen. Here we go. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory. Watch this. Underline this. Underline this in your Bible. To be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Underline that. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ. Underline this, which passes knowledge. We're going to talk about that. Which passes knowledge, underline that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Let's go to the Passion Bible and read verses 16 and 17, and then you may be seated. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then by constant using your faith, oh, here it is, my brothers and sisters, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of his love will become very source and root of your life. Amen. I want to talk to you on this set because now we are moving up a level. This level is called the level of dimensions. The level of dimensions. And what I would like to do, now watch this, for the next 3 weeks, I would like to take and dissect it, if I can, or break it down and teach it in 3 weeks. Because this is too important for you, to me, for just to cruise right on through this, okay? And so this is how we're going to do it. This week, I'm going to teach on how to strengthen your inner man. Next week, we'll talk about how to enlighten your understanding. And lastly, we'll take and put how to strengthen your inner man and how to lighten your understanding. We'll put it all together in week 3 and we'll talk about how to raise your state of consciousness. You may be seated. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The reason I'm taking time is because I believe one of the failures, if you will, and I say failures and I repeat that, of the church is that we haven't discipled or trained God's people properly. Would you agree with me? I would give us an A when it comes to, and I'm talking about the church universal, loving people and going out and witnessing and winning souls. But I do have a problem with that because that's where we stop. and we allow people to come in the kingdom of God and to run amok with ignorance. The Bible says, let me give you a text. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it talks about ye are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Watch this. Who have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, that's what it says, right? Now, when you get the context of that, we've been called out of what? Ignorance into what? Revelation. That's what it's saying. We use it as sin, and yes, we know ignorance is sin. We have been called out of what? Ignorance into revelation. But what happens when there's no discipleship program, when there's no discipleship training, and they're allowed to come into the kingdom without proper training, guess what happened? Ignorance still stay. So in darkness, guess what happens? They run around and they assume their own mindset. And they try to operate with God with their own mindset. And finally, they get what we call frustrated and they leave out of the kingdom. I just stop and say, God, where are you? I'm doing all this stuff. I'm tithing. I'm doing this. But what happened? You have no training. And so that's what this book is about, partly to give you what? Training, so that you can be productive, and then it will cause you advancement in God's kingdom. Just being saved, I told you last week, being saved is not the greatest thing. Knowing that you are saved is the greatest thing. See, you got to be intentional. You got to be intentional. You got to understand that. Yeah, just being saved, that's fine. But why am I saved? Knowing that I'm saved makes all the difference in my life as a believer. So we have to understand that going forward, we must be intentional about the kingdom and how to advance in the kingdom, but more so how to operate in the kingdom. Okay? So I want y'all to take plenty of notes. Go home and review the notes, because I did my homework. I want you to do yours, because now with this teaching alone, just today, with this teaching alone, there won't be no more doubts in your life, because I'm going to teach you today on how to fully operate in the kingdom. And this is why. So how many of you don't quote the scripture? I heard the scripture say Jesus was talking and said, whatever you believe, you shall receive. And you done tried to believe, but you haven't received. You be like, God, what's going on here? Well, I'm going to eliminate that for you today. Y'all ready? Okay. Thank you, Sister Talisha. I know one person that's dead. So we're going to break it down. Can I take my time? Because this is too important for us just to rush through this. The first thing I want to talk about is, write this down. The dichotomy of the human. The word dichotomy means contrast, such as light and darkness. Right? That's the dichotomy of a human. In other words, what is the dichotomy of a human? The dichotomy is this: a human has a body, soul, and spirit. That's the dichotomy. Your body is just not a one and all. A one-size-fit-all body. It is a 3D, a three-dimensional body. Again, body, soul being, watch this, mind, emotions, intellect, whatever you want to call it, and spirit is being spirit man. When you get saved, the only thing change about you is your spirit. This is how God relates to us, through what? Our spirit. Your body didn't change. Your hair didn't change. Your body size, nothing happened. The only change, a transformation that happened in your life, was your spirit was quickened. And Paul says in the book of Romans, it was dead and now it is alive. That is the only transformation that takes place when a believer gets saved. Okay. And so that the dichotomy, you got to understand something about your human body is this, that you have a spirit. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and read verse 16 And let's start from there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed. What? Now, if you look at the author, Paul, he is suggesting two things here. Number one, that you have an outward body and a what? An inward body. You have a flesh man and you have a spirit man. You got to know that. That's the dichotomy of the human. And so we have that. He says, so here it is. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Yet inwardly we are being what? Now, I need you to understand this, my brothers and sisters. I need you to get this real quick, because here's the key. The word up there, if you want to underline in that scripture, is the word being. Underline that word being. We are being renewed day by day. He didn't say we are renewed day by day. We are being renewed day by day. In other words, you have a spirit and it's not renewed automatically like your blood cells replenish themselves. That is not how your spirit works. Your spirit works on the premise of you and I must help it renew itself. Are y'all with me? So it says that watch this, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And so what it is simply stipulating to you and I, suggesting to you and I, is that if you're not careful, you will forget that you have an inward man. And so there's an old saying, out of sight, out of mind, meaning if I don't see it, I forget about it. That's what happened. We can see this. That's why I look around, and we done went to great lengths this morning getting this all right. We dress this up, we bathe this, we clothe this, we do everything to the bod, right? But how much do we take the same amount of time and put that towards your inner man? You see what I'm saying? And so because you don't, I wonder, is your inner man malnourished? Waiting and crying, say, you know, I would like a little makeup on me every now and then. I would like for you to bathe me every now and then. I need some food too, because it needs food in order to nourish itself. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. So I believe as a believer, so much is put on the outer man is never too much put on the. And how many of you know when we hear the term the kingdom of God, it is a supernatural kingdom. Do you agree with that? And so the only thing in you supernatural is not your body, it's your what? Oh, yeah. See, you need to understand that. We're going to talk about it in great detail. So it doesn't automatically, right, renew itself. Guess what? It needs some help from us. So I'm going to ask you, when the last time you renewed your spirit? When the last time you gave yourself a spiritual checkup? So it takes help. And so we're going to see in a minute, this is why we're not getting what we think we should be getting, because we don't understand the principle and the protocol of how God set us up. So you need to understand the dichotomy of the Bible. Second thing we want to talk about before we get into the text. I just want to bring some things to you, because once I get started, I don't want to slow down. So I want you to stay with me. We want to be on the same page, okay? We talked about the dichotomy of the body. We understand that we have an outer man and a what? Okay. I'm not playing on your intelligence either. I just want to make sure you understand that. The second thing is we need to understand that our spiritual makeup. Ecclesiastical chapter 12, verse 7 says this. For then the dust will return to the earth, and the spirit will return to who? God who gave it. So the spirit comes from who? Where is your body going to return to? See? So God is, you know, now here it is. Look at me. Y'all looking? I know it's a hard thing I'm about to say. God cares only about your spirit. Your responsibility is to care about your body. God is not going to take care of your body for you. He tell us about that. He give us his word to help us get healed. All that. But whose responsibility it is? Our responsibility. He's not going to say that and don't eat a whole box of donuts or don't eat that whole pizza. That ain't God. God, listen, you want to eat five? Eat five pieces. God ain't going to, you ain't never say hell. Now, he say, hey, you know you're overdoing it, but hey, that's it. You won't have to deal with the weight. You won't have to deal with the high blood pressure. But your spirit is essential to the kingdom. And I'm going to tell you why. Okay? Let's move on. Number three, and then we're almost there. We're almost there. Y'all being good for me. So watch this. Your kingdom. Strengthen. We're going to learn today how to strengthen the inner man. Go with me to Proverbs 20:27. It says, the spirit God breathes into a man is like a living lamp, shining light, searching into the innermost chambers of our being. So God gives us a spirit, right? So that your spirit, and you're going to see here in a minute, and I'm going to show it to you. Your spirit is how God sees us from the inside out. Your spirit is what shows up on the X-ray screen in heaven. That's how he's reading you. Listen, look what he tells Jeremiah. He said, the heart is deceitful. Above all, desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord knows it. The only one that's going to ever be able to read your spirit is who? God. Your spirit is significant to God. God gave you your spirit for a reason. That's how he communes with us. Not through your body. He communes with us through what? Our spirit, okay? We got it? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. For we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the spirit of God, so that we might understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. You can't understand God unless what? You understand him from a spiritual standpoint. Jesus tell Nicodemus this, that which is flesh, and that which is spirit. You got to always keep the two separate when we're operating. I understand. You got to listen. If you don't keep the two separate, then you'll treat everything in you just like one. You got to know if your body get hungry, my spirit getting hungry. See, you got to keep it separate because, see, some of us haven't been keeping it separate. We've been treating the thing as a whole. And so while we've been treating it as a whole, collectively, all you've been getting is from things that benefit your flesh and not your spirit. OK, let's move on. We're getting ready to get there in a minute. So getting acquainted with our spirit man in the medical term, and Sister Mary can validate this. They have a machine, a pump called the CER, which is the cardiac event recorder. That's what it's called. What is this? This thing checks your heart rhythm. It checks everything. The doctor can put that in you and look, be in his office and read what's going on in your heart. Are y'all with me there? And so your spirit is placed in you. So God don't have to come to you every day personally. He sees. All he has to do is just dial up and dial in. I see what's going on in your life. I know what's going on in your life. I see your heart is deceitful. I see that you are desperately wicked. I see that. Why? Because when God dials in every day, he sees this every day. It ain't what you're doing in your flesh. It's what your spirit is telling off on you. And it's going to tell. It's telling off on you. So your spirit reads all activities and sends it back to heaven. And so not only that, the spirit becomes what we call the core of who we are. You know, it's just like your core muscles, your abdominal, right? Your spinal,
your lads, all like that, that bears the weight. Believe it or not, the reason some of us fall into depression is because your inner core is weak. And you need to do some core training. See, when your spirit is weak, you can't take much. I know Jesus said the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak, but our spirit is weak and we find ourselves not being able to deal with the pressures of life and to succumb with things that goes on a daily basis. Why? Because you have a weak core. And we must build up our core. We must put attention to the core. And doctors would tell you, really therapists, when you go to physical therapists, and the first thing, especially when you say your body hurting and they see you leaning all over, the first thing they ask you, can you walk it up and come back to me? And the first thing most of them are going to tell you, you have a weak core. And we're going to give you exercises where we can strengthen your core, where you can straighten up. So when you straighten up, your blood circulation will start going right. All this stuff will start doing right. Why? Because you let your core got weak. So some of us have weak spirits. So let's get into it now. I just wanted to jump into that real quick, like, so that you will understand when I start talking about this, where we going. Y'all ready? Okay. We want to talk about the layout of the spirit, of your spirit. The layout of our spirit. Write that down. Smith Wigglesworth said this: I am 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. What he was talking about was capacity. Capacity. Our spirit is our capacity. When you came from heaven, God gave you capacity. He gave you a spirit. In other words, your capacity is your trunk space. You got plenty of trunk space. See? God packed that trunk full of good stuff when you left heaven. It ain't found here. It's found in your spirit. Everything you need, everything that you need to do, and everything you need help from is found where? In my spirit, man. Because now, so you have capacity, right? And capacity is simply this, unused space. And we call that potential. Okay? Unused space. And so if you look out, how you spell the word capacity? C-A-P-A-C-I-T-Y. Capacity. If you break this up in syllables, see, they don't do syllables no more. That's how I learned how to read when I came through school. They didn't teach me how to sound out words. We learn words by breaking them up. See, but anyway, check this out. If you break the word capacity up, the last word is what? City. On the inside of you is a city. You have a city on the inside of you. And no, it's not empty either. We're going to talk about some of the residents that lives in your city. Your city has residents. It ain't no empty city. Let me name a few of the families that live in your city. Faith lives in your city. Wisdom lives in your city. Understanding lives in your city. Purpose lives in your city. Discernment lives in your city. We can go on and on. So these are some of the families that lives in your city. But today, I just want to focus on one family, faith. What it is and how we use it. What it is and how we use it. Write this down. Number 5, the simplicity of faith. The simplicity of faith. The word simplicity means the quality or condition of being easy to understand or do. Faith is easy to understand, and watch this, it's easy to do. Faith plays a major role in an individual life in the kingdom, doesn't it? So I want y'all to look at me when I tell you this. because it plays such a major role, God wanted it to be simple. He didn't want this to be complicated. He don't want faith to be confusing. It's simple. I'm going to show it to you. We have made it complicated. Religion have made faith complicated. But God made faith simple. Anytime God wants you to get something and use something, he's not just going to jumble it up so you will be there scratching your head off. No, it's simple. So you can stop scratching your head after the day. It's simple. Faith is designed to be simple so that, watch this, it can aid or assist you in whatever you need. So we just made faith so confusing. But it is simple. It is designed to be simple. So how faith works and manifests itself, we're getting ready to see. So, say this with me. Faith comes from my spirit and not my mind. Say that one more time. Faith comes from my spirit and not my mind. Here is the problem that many Christians take faith. They take faith. Look at me. I told you I'm going to be slow. We try to believe faith. Faith comes through spirit. It doesn't come through head. It doesn't come through mind. I just told you faith is a supernatural thing. So anything that's come from heaven and that heaven we use, it can't be head knowledge. It got to be what? Spirit knowledge. It has to come from our spirit. So your belief when it comes to using faith can't be here, right? It has to be from here, your spirit. So when I get ready to believe God from something, I take my head out of it. Because the first thing, okay, let's back up. Let's back up. Let me prophesy. You're going to be great and wealthy one day. Bam, your head just told you, not from my circumstances, not what I come out of, not what I had to go through. I can't see it. See, in your spirit ain't doubt. In your head is doubt. In your spirit is not fear. In your head is fear. Do you understand? So the thing, that's why God knew where to put this thing. I'm not going to trust what I want to give to you and how I want to bless you, put it in your head. What if you bang your head up on the wall and get amnesia? You see? So faith comes through our spirit man. And this is the reason our spirit man needs strength. A strong spirit man produces strong faith. Well, we done tried everything we want to try and done everything that's possible that you can do, and we still ain't got nothing. Well, but go back and put your spirit man on the x-ray and look at it. How does your spirit man look? See? Your spirit man. Faith is developed and produce through our spirits. Y'all got that? Here's a caveat, a stipulation. If it's in the spiritual realm, it must come through your spirit. I'm going to say that one more time so you can get it. If it's in the spiritual realm, it must come through the spirit. Now, let me give you an example. You know, some people say, just reach out and get it. Just pull it in. Just pull it in. But you're trying to pull it in with your mind. It ain't going to happen. Because it's a spiritual thing. Your mind is what? Fleshly. Oh, that's going back to the dirt. Your spirit goes back to the Lord. I just showed you that in Ecclesiastes. So if it's in the spiritual realm, I got to act spiritual to get it and bring it in. So my thinking, here it is, my thinking comes through the spirit realm. Go with me now to Romans 10:17. You ready? So then, faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. How do faith comes? That's how it comes. You hear many voices every day, don't you? So if it's left up to your head, which one you want to believe? But the right voice hits your spirit. There's only one voice that your spirit going to allow to come in there. And that's the voice of God. So I believe from my spirit. I'm going to prove it to you. Same chapter. It says, watch this. With the mouth, confession is made. But with the heart, which he's talking about the spirit, we believe. See, I don't believe with my mind. I believe with my spirit. So if God said I'm going to have something and said I got something for you, I don't put my head out there. I put my spirit out there. It comes. Because I just told you, Smith Wigglesworth said that your spirit is 1,000 times bigger than your body. So there's no limits in your spirit. There's limitation on what you can grasp in your mind. And everything that you hold your mind, can I say this about the mind before we move on? Your mind is only designed to think. Temporary. It was never designed to hold anything. But that's the only thing that the enemy can use against you. So he tries to keep it there as a holding tank to remind you of your past, to remind you of what you didn't get, to remind you of this. That's it. But God gave you your mind to think. Temporary. And so if you renew your spirit, you can renew your mind. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So everything that God gave you, right, was based on, I'm going to speak to you in your spirit. Put Job 32:8 up there. Look what Job 32:8 said. But there is a spirit within people, the breath of the Almighty within them, that makes them what? Read that. I want you to read that together on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. See, you thought your brain made you intelligent. But your intelligence and your understanding comes from where? Your spirit. I understand we go to college. I understand we get an education that sharpens and skills our minds. But watch this. Everybody got a God used, most likely, other than Paul, I'm reading in the Bible, and maybe Apollos. They didn't go to college. They were just people who God worked through with the Holy Spirit. Let me give you some examples. Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? What have you done with that money? Well, no, he said, you didn't lie to us. Peter knew this. Why? Because he perceived it in his spirit. Do you know this is how Adam operate when he was in the garden? In his spirit eternal? I always wondered. I say, man, how could that man name all them animals? That I say, he had to be a genius. No, your mind wasn't geared for that. He heard what God said, and he just repeated it, which makes us transition to the next thing. To have something manifest in your spirit realm, out of the spirit realm into the natural, just say what God said. From here. Jesus said in John 4, for out of your belly, out of your spirit shall flow what? Rivers of what? He didn't say out of your head. Get your head out of it. Your head complicates your situation. The minute you start talking about, well, I'm walking in faith, I'm going to believe God. Now, let me show you what you're doing when you're putting your head in it. When we use our head to try to bring faith into the picture, that is called willpower. And I'm going to give you the definition for willpower, okay?
Well, I thought I was. If I can't find it for the sake of time, I'll tell you what it is. Here it is.
Mind over matter. You ready? The use of willpower to overcome a physical problem. That's all you've been trying to do. You've been trying to make it happen. You've been hoping it happened. That's mind over matter. Willpower don't work in the spiritual realm. What works in the spiritual realm? The word of God. Well, thus saith the Lord, I declare. See? When you follow the prescription, you can't make nothing. I'm going to believe with all my might. That's just willpower. And you believe with all your might and still nothing materialized, did it? You didn't see nothing manifest, did it? Because God is not interested in your head. It has to come. Listen, if it's in heaven, if it's in the spiritual realm, it must be birthed through the canal of your spirit. It must be birthed through the canal of your spirit. That's how we get things. That's why I can do what God wants me to do. Why? Because I see it in the spirit. Let me give you a dichotomy real quick, like a contrast. The Bible talks about Elijah's servant, that the Syrian army, he looked out and seen the Syrian army, he says, alas, my master, they are here to get us. What shall we do? The Bible said Elijah prayed, watch this, that his eyes, his servant eyes would be open. And he saw where? In the spirit. And where when he saw in the spirit, he saw angels and cherubims all around the mountain. And he said, there's more for us than it is against us. And see, this is why we limit ourselves. You say, well, I wasn't doubting. I believed God with all my heart. Yeah, but you was limiting your belief. Why? Because you tried to do it with your head, because you saw it from a natural perspective. If you only saw it with your spirit eyes and you put your spirit glasses on, you could have saw it. Yeah, whatever God said, oh, it's going to happen. Just because I'm in a bad circumstance don't mean nothing. God said it happened, and his word doesn't return back to him void. I'm standing on the word. I'm going to birth this word through this canal, through my spirit, until I see it comes in the natural. My head is not in it. So at the end of the day, you're not so tired and exhausted and worried. See, that should not be. The word is worry-free. The word of God is worry-free. So when God says something, should be no stress tied to it. But if you catch it in your mind, here it is. Now, what if this don't happen? See? Now you don't start stressing out. What if it don't happen? What people going to say? Now you just stress yourself out even more. But if you saw it in his spirit, that's why he opened his servant's eyes. So his servant could readjust his sight. Listen, now. Your responsibility now, as of today, is to readjust your sight. Take it from here to here. In Luke chapter 14, the Bible says Jesus told his disciples to get in the boat and go to the other side. And they got in the boat and went to the other side. And at the same time, he says, I'll turn the people loose. I'll send them back away. And when he sent the people away, the Bible says he went up in the mountains to pray. Stay with me. And while he was praying, he looked out. Now, they was way out in the Lake of Gennesaret. Do you know that? He couldn't see naturally out there. But the Bible says when he looked up, he saw his men, the disciples out there tussling and fighting the waves. And here Jesus says, let me go. And he went out there. And then when they saw him, they thought he was a ghost. And then Peter said, Jesus, is it you? If it's you, bid me that I may come. He said, come. And then finally, when Peter sank and he did all that, they clammed into the boat. But here's the point. The point was, here's Jesus. And the same spirit that Jesus have, you have. He saw things before they even happened. Why? You can't see but your mind. I understand we have natural eyes, but we'll talk about this next Sunday about the eyes of your understanding. What is that? But he saw in his spirit, they need my help. Let me go. See? Stop seeing here and start seeing here. Eat your spirit. You got to train yourself now. This is not an overnight process. I'm here up here to tell you. This is not because we have been defaulted and taught all our life how we believe. How you been taught how to believe? You think it. That ain't how we believe. Because if we think it, we could think ourselves saved. But you can't think yourself saved. That's why I say believe in your. So you have to believe with your spirit. Am I making any sense? Are we tracking together? I just want to stay slow so we can get there. Because why am I doing this? I'm not just doing this for me. I'm doing it for you because I'm going to need you, because there are things that God has shown me in the spirit that we need to believe God for. I need believers who can believe. I don't need believers who ain't fighting and trying to get stuff for the, well, it ain't working, so I ain't going to. No, I need you. I need big faith. So I need you to stop struggling with your head and start feeding your spirit, so that your spirit man can get nourished enough so it can produce the faith kind of faith that will could benefit you. In your city, there's people who can help you out in your city. Can I tell you that? Any citizen pay taxes. Do you believe that? Supposed to, legally. Now, you're living illegally. Citizens pay taxes. So your faith is living in your spirit. It should be assisting you with something, but you haven't been using it. You have let your faith homestead, so your faith don't have to do anything. You've been thinking, you've been doing everything with your head, but instead your faith resides in your city, and you should make your faith pay taxes so it can benefit you. So, let's move on a little further. So, let's look at it. Spirit. Boy, it's hot in here. Can somebody cut that thing off? So, your spirit and my spirit is what I call our command control center. Stay with me. It is your command control center. What do I mean? This is how heaven responds and communicates with you, with your command. God has never spoken to your mind. He has always spoken to your spirit. Your command control center. And that's why, if you follow the levels right, when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, you got heaven's language that only can be utilized. Look at me. That's why you don't understand what you're saying in tongues, because the mind cannot comprehend it. It is only designed for your spirit. Your spirit is the only place the devil cannot infiltrate nor penetrate. He can infiltrate that head. He can penetrate that mind. But listen, it's locked out. He don't even know the code. He don't even have the code. And God gave you a power to use. That's why you should be praying in tongues always. Why? Because that's your heavenly language. Look, once you and I start praying, it hits our command control center. It's decoded up in heaven. I didn't give you the scripture. I think it's in Romans 8:19. Romans 8:27. I got so many scriptures looming in my head. I'm going to tell you which one it is so you'll know. It says, for when we pray, we know not what we ought to pray for, but the spirit of infirmities make intercession for us. That's the scripture. See, you when you start praying, you found it? Somebody found it for me? It's 8:27. Thank you, Sister Diane. I figured it was one of them. I just got so many scriptures looming now, I can't get it. But listen, when you're praying, don't be concerned so much about what you're saying when you're praying in tongues. Just know that it's being decoded on the other side in the other realm, to bring you back. Watch this. So when heaven sends it back, you're going to be able to receive it in your spirit and manifest it in the natural. Well, how I know what I'm saying? I don't understand. That's flesh. God won't. Hey, listen, it's separate. Remember I told you to separate yourself? It's separate. Your English language right now, because we're in America, it's only because you're here in America. That don't work in heaven. God has given us a language to help us out. We got to learn how to use it. We got to understand. So when we operate in faith, so what do faith need? Obedience. In order for faith to operate, here's the good part here now. It needs obedience to operate. Let's go back to the natural man, our outward man, and to the inner man. Here we go. The reason faith cannot work with the natural man and it, because the natural man is not consistent. Faith has to have consistency, and I'll tell you what I'm talking about here in a minute. Faith needs consistency, obedience. The reason faith cannot work with the natural man because in the natural man is always a but. There's a pause. And when you but or pause, there's doubt. In eternity, there is no doubt or pause. There's consistency. That's why God had to remove Adam and Eve out of the garden. Because this is why Christians need to understand it. Well, however you go into eternity, that's how you stay. Nothing changes. Eternity, things stay the same. Don't you know that? That's how you go. So when you believe in God for something, if it's your head, if it's out here, that's why we don't get a lot of things, because it's always that but, it's always that pause, it's always that apprehension to keep us from moving on what God says. But here it is, and the reason I'm telling you, here it is, the consistency, because everything in the spirit is like this. There's no buts, there's no pause. Spontaneously, keep going. It's just like that. Say it, bam, there it is. Think it, bam, there it is. That's how it operates in the spirit. In the natural, wait. Wait. In the spirit realm, it's always happening. Something always going on. There's never a moment. Peter says, a day is like 1,000 years with God, and 1,000 years is like a day. Why? Because that's eternity. God lives in eternity. Nothing never changes. On earth, things change. So we need to know. And the reason we haven't been doing so good as kingdom citizens, because we have to retrain ourselves now to operate completely different. And you'll see yourself advancing different. Because now when the word comes at you, it's not coming at your head, it's coming at your spirit. For faith comes by hearing. The word is trying to hit your spirit to what? Strengthen your spirit, to increase your capacity. So whatever God said to you and about you can come forward now. Your head can't even handle this. Are we tracking? Go with me to Psalms 42 and 7. We're almost through. Y'all being good people to me. Thank y'all for letting me take my time. Psalms 42 verse 7 says, deep calleth unto what? God calls you. He calls you. Where he's calling to? He ain't speaking to your head. He's speaking to you. In your spirit. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 3. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, the little boy Samuel is laying down. And he hear a voice say, Samuel. Samuel raises up off his bed. He go to the old man, the old priest Eli, says, what you want? Eli says, I didn't call you. He says, go back and lay down. So he go back and lay down. The Bible says second time, he lays there. He hears another voice, Samuel. Samuel rise up. The little boy rise up. He goes back to the old priest Eli. The Bible says, he says to Eli, here I am. What you want? Eli says, son, I ain't call you. Go back and lay down. The Bible says on the third time, he hears again, Samuel. He goes to Eli. But this time, Eli, the Bible says, Eli proceed. That the young lad had heard the Lord calling him. Here it is. Listen to me. Here's your revelation. Eli gives him a great revelation. He says, if you hear it again, this is what I want you to say. Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth, or your servant listens. He wasn't speaking to the boy from here. He was speaking to him on the inside. There's a clarion call just so loud from a spiritual standpoint when God's speaking to you, it's clear. Look, everybody around you, you can say, did you hear that? No, I ain't hear nothing. God just speaking to you, but he's speaking to you from the inside. That's why when God say, go do something, he ain't speaking to your head. He's speaking to you from the inside. You'll go talk to somebody. Well, I think I spoke. Well, nah, that ain't work. No, God didn't ask for permission. He said, move. He's speaking from the inside. There was a clarion call from the inside. So we have to understand. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have it where? Underline that. The things that, listen, I told you there are things God has. Listen, it didn't say enter your head. Where it says, enter your heart, the things God has what? There are some things that even God hasn't even said to your heart yet, that he has waiting on you. And the reason God, y'all look at me, and the reason God has reserved and holding some things on you, because you always put your head out there and he says, you can't handle what I got for you with your head. I need to hear you from your heart. That's where I speak it. That's, look, I'm going to place it just like the postman put it in the mailbox. When it comes to you, it's going to be in your heart. All you got to do is go there and pull it out. You got to pull it out. We've been trying to serve God from a place of the head, right? When we should be trying to serve him from the place of our spirit, so that our spirit man will understand the things that God wants from us, because that's the only thing that can relate to God. Man, your head, I don't understand it. Your head can't relate to the things of God. I'm just trying to make sure before I move on that I didn't miss anything. I didn't miss, because we're getting ready to close out. Thank you for your patience. Put Proverbs 18:14 up there, MJ. It says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities, but a wounded spirit who can bear? In other words, if your spirit right, there's nothing you can't get from heaven. But if you have a wounded or weak spirit, everything heaven put at you, it's going to fall apart. Because we haven't been doing what? Strengthening our inner man, or your core. Yeah. Are y'all with me? Yeah. See, we got to get back, people. I understand God has a lot of stuff for you. Put Ephesians 4:23 up there, too. I definitely love that, and I can't leave that out there. Ephesians 4:23. Got it? I'm jumping back and forth on you, so I give you a little time. That's my fault today. Ephesians 4:23. Write that down. You want this. Here it is. Look, let's read it. Instead, let your spirit renew your thoughts and your attitude. You know what the scripture talks about in Romans 12:1-2? Be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind? Listen, your mind can't be renewed until your spirit be renewed. You've been trying to do all that work on your mind, get up every day, pray, thinking your mind is renewed. Your mind get right out there and fail you again. It's your spirit. Once you renew your spirit, then your spirit tells your mind exactly what to do. So the Bible says, instead, let your what? Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitude. That's how we get renewed. We don't get renewed because we read the word of God and we meditate on it all night long and we think we're going to be changed. You're never going to be changed, because change comes from the inside out, not from the outside in. wrap it up then. Let's get ready to go home. Okay, I'll do that. I was getting ready to close it out. But for the next 2 minutes, is there any questions that you have concerning what I talked about today before we leave? I don't want you to leave clueless, because we want to put this to shame, because in 2020, you're setting your next 10 years now. I want you to be intentional about everything God said to me about me. I want it to come to pass. So that's why I'm teaching like this. Yes, ma'am. Okay, good. I'm glad. See, that's why I listen to the Holy Spirit. Your spirit is another mind. It's heaven's mind. It is command, control, or you see what I'm saying? So most people, when they're thinking about renewing your mind, that should be your spirit need reviving. And we need to learn how to restructure or change the things that we've been taught over a period of time, so that it's good to have a brilliant mind, but we have a weak spirit. Let me give you an example. I could come down to the altar right now and repent of something right now. And I mean it with all my heart. I'm not playing. I mean it. And get up and walk out of the door and do the same thing over again. Why? Because it only came here. But if I want true change, true revelation, then I have to allow the word to get in my spirit. And once my spirit gets what I got, it informs my mind, this is the way your lifestyle got to be now. We've been using the wrong mind. We've been using, and this mind was here. The only reason God gave you this mind, because number one, it complements your body, right? And number two, it assists your spirit on anything that need to be done in the earth realm, because it's illegal for a spirit to be in the earth realm, correct? So you need a body to operate. So your mind need to function. But your mind need guidance and leadership. So your spirit is the one who leads and guide your mind to do the things of God. Right. And that's the way we've been taught. Great point. But change doesn't come from the outside in. It comes from the your spirit should renew your mind, not your mind renew your. But it doesn't matter now, because God is intentional. And listen, he's getting ready to do some things in your midst. And he wants you to be ready for him. But he don't want, when God start moving, he don't want you, because you don't understand it, because I have not seen nor have ear heard, neither heart entered into the heart of man. You to say that's not God. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Or you call somebody else not to do what you get in the way. Because you can hear now. You can hear from heaven. You can hear from heaven a long way, but it's a short way. Watch this. Because it's spirit to spirit. Mm-hmm. And you said you must hear by the Spirit and the Word. Mm-hmm. Now, because I've heard so many different ways of hearing the Word. Mm-hmm. Here in my, taking certain verses, and some start out with Genesis 1:1, Okay, I understand what you're saying. Okay, I got you. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And read verse 15 and 16. I want you to do it because it's your question when you get there. Stand up and read it aloud for me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. See, our spirits never get old either. That's a natural man. That's why it wastes away day by day. Read it for me. Now, I want to say this. It says all scripture or what? Read it one more time.
All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong.
Now, Brother Noah, look at me. It doesn't matter where you start at. It's how Holy Spirit is directing you. No, I don't want you to sit down because I got one more scripture for you to read. Go back one chapter and read verse 15. Read it. People hungry, man. I'm just joking.
Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of God.
Now here's what the King James said. Study to show yourself approved. See, the preacher man can get up and tell you to start. It's good if you want to start from Genesis and go all the way to. I have nothing. I think it's a great thing to read the whole Bible through. If you ain't never done it, it's an experience. Are y'all with me? If it's an experience. But Holy Spirit is going to take you in that word where you need to be. And where you need to be, that's where you need to study. Look, it starts off like this. Study. Thank you. Study to show. See, wherever God take you in that word. Now, good. In your spare time, if you want to start off at the beginning of the year, start reading Genesis 1:1, that's good. I don't have a problem with that. But I wanted to also say this. The word, there's two forms of word. There is the rhema word, which is a right now word. The word that God speaks to you. And boom, the word come alive. The Bible talks about in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 4, it says, for the word is quick and alive, or quick and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive. So when God knows exactly where you're at, what you're going through, and he'll bring you a word. Remember I told you last week that I was sitting there and the Holy Spirit just brought me a word. I didn't have Psalm 27 on my mind, but it was a rhema word. It was a right now word for me. Then there is the logos, a logos word. That is the word being made flesh. That is Jesus Christ himself. See? And so we got to understand when we are walking, Jesus walked how? Go with me to Galatians. Since you're my reader today, go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And we through. Unless somebody else got a question. Galatians 5, 16. Read that for us. Galatians 5, 16. Somebody get the King James because I know he ain't going to read it out the King James. Somebody read out the King James for me. Well, good. New Living. Somebody find the King James too. 5, 16. Galatians 5, 16. We're closing. Read it, Brother Noah. That's living from the inside out. Somebody got 516 King James?
I say then, walk
You see what comes first? Spirit comes first. Flesh comes after. See, you want your spirit to always be in charge of you, not your flesh to be in charge of you. You want, what would you do in a heated moment? Will I curse? That's flesh. Yes. Or would I, what would I do in a heated moment when my spirit is in charge of me? Yes. I know how to handle that. Yes. Brother, I love you. Sister, I love you in Jesus' name. Let me get on. Listen, because I don't have a dog in that fight. It's not worth the fight. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
I know how to do. Jesus, there are many moments that they approached Jesus with crazy stuff, and Jesus already knew they was coming, and he was prepared because he always was spirit first and flesh last. My brothers and sisters, we need to learn how to be spirit first and flesh last. We need to know how to walk in the spirit so we don't glorify the flesh. That's what that scripture is saying. When we walk in the spirit, we don't glorify the flesh, we glorify the Lord. Right? And so it doesn't matter. So Holy Spirit has his own special recipe for Noah Cortez. He has a regimen for Noah Cortez. And it may, your regimen may be in Ephesians. Mine's may be in the Gospel of Luke. It doesn't matter. But whatever he puts you at, you're going to get a revelation like no other, and it's going to feed my spirit. So when I wake up in the morning, I'm not going to the stove to cook toast, eggs, and grits. I go there and sit down, and I get prepared to feed my spirit, man, so I can, in my day's journey, that I'm in control of it. So that, he says, so that your inner man might be strengthened with might. You want a mighty spirit man so that anything God promised you, I can use the word of God to get it. Because look what God says. He says, I hasten to perform my word. He says, I stand ready to do it. When I hear you say it, I know it. I just want you to say it. So when you say what I said, bam, it comes to pass. Any more questions? I'm through. Yes, sir. I'm sorry, Miss Mary. I didn't see you. But go ahead.
The other thing is, what's your reason for being at the church? Not doing anything but sitting down. Why are you not up serving? And I was right. I was up and I was talking to the Lord. And I was, as I was there, God gave me the scripture. And the other thing was, I can't pray. I only pray the Spirit right now. I got the answer today. Because I am a wounded soul.
Okay.
And I walk around here with a smile every day on my face. And it's between me and God. I can't talk to man. And I'm saying that because I can't.
Wow.
I'm saying, you're to the place where a man don't understand.
Right.
Or the enemy tell you man not the
person.
And if I go to man with what's going on inside of me, so just this morning, I said, God, I don't care what my husband say. I don't care what man say. Watch what I say. I don't care what the church say. I don't care what nobody say. All I want to do is what you want me to do. Because when I lay down in the grave, that's the only thing that's going to matter.
That's it. I got you. Go ahead.
What God showed me when the scripture you used by Eli and the Lord started speaking to him, and he kept going and asked him, you know, and he called him and he told him no. Then he said, ask the Lord, say, speak to me. God spoke to me.
Wow.
Every scripture God gave me was spoken. Mm-hmm. Mm. He already done dealt with it. It's already taken care of. All you needed was what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I believe that.
Right.
So when you use those two, and you use more than that, but those two, this one, I thank God.
Amen.
Because I got a breakthrough.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. For the praise in English right now, it's because I'm in the bath.
There you go.
I got to pray in the spirit.
Man.
To build up the spirit in
him. Mm-hmm.
And I thank God because when we pray in the spirit, he already knows what we're singing and he's the one in the church. And that means that I'm talking
directly to him. To him. That's it. You go. And the enemy can't mess with that. That's it.
Especially people that don't know.
That's right.
Not the word that we being taught and everything. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't understand this. They don't know it. And then we have this, okay, I'm going to tell you all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Said,
mm-hmm. Right. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. That's it.
That's right.
Thank you, Pastor. Welcome. We're getting ready to do something, and I'm just going to turn it over to the Holy Spirit right now because I just want you to come down to the altar in a minute. Don't say nothing. Just listen.